Father, we do lift up one voice, singing hallelujah. We do bless you and honor you and reverence you because you're worthy. And we're not going to let rocks cry out for us. We lift our voice to say hallelujah. We lift our voice to say you've been good to me. We lift our voice to say you are God and there is no one like you. We lift our voice to say you're worthy to be honored, to be worshipped, to be reverenced, to be adored in this place. We lift our voice. Hallelujah. You're so good. You're so good. As we stand before the Word tonight, the high privilege of sharing from the Word of God tonight, Father, we realize that your Word is no ordinary book. These words from the Word of God are no ordinary dead words. These are not dried up dead men's words from centuries ago, but these words are alive. These words, your words, Father God, are filled with life. Your words are dripping with anointing. There's nothing like your mighty word tonight. Your word has the answer for every situation we face. Every problem, every stress of life, your word has the answer. It's living, powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joint and marrow. Your word is a discerner of the thoughts, the intents of our heart, Father God. There is nothing like your word. One day heaven and earth will pass away, but not your word. Your word will remain forever. We thank you. Your word is forever settled in heaven. Thank you for the power that's in your mighty word tonight. And so speak to everybody in this place. Speak to every ear that's listening, to everyone viewing, a live stream or however they're watching over the internet, or someone's listening in some other venue to this message, someone listening right here live. Father, thank you. Speak to every heart. Speak to every life. Speak into every situation. Speak a word to everybody listening, Father God. We're not going to be bumps on a log. We're going to be active listeners tonight. And as you speak to us, we'll do whatever you tell us. Father, if you change us, we'll change. If you tell us to do something, we'll do something different. Father, give us direction, we'll follow it. Encourage us, we'll be encouraged. Strengthen us, we'll receive your strength. Whatever it is tonight, whatever the need is, we thank you for the mighty word shall prevail. And thank you for the good Holy Ghost. Our great helper is here tonight. Thank you that our great helper is in the house tonight. Thank you. He's in the house of everybody listening, wherever you're listening to this message from. The great helper, the Holy Ghost, is there. Thank you for ministering to every single person, every single individual. Thank you. You're a comforter. You're a counselor. You're a guide. You're a standby. You're a truth revealer. Thank you. Thank you, Father, for the Holy Ghost. Thank you for the mighty word. And thank you for the Holy Ghost. And so we trust you tonight. Have your way. We want to hear you say well done. Want you to be pleased. And we'll give you all of the glory, all of the honor, all of the reverence. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, you can have your seat. Turn and shake somebody's hand as you have your seat. Praise God. Hallelujah. You can start turning over to Psalm 25. That's where we'll begin ultimately. Well, this is an exciting time of year. So many things going on. And, of course, this week is critical to all of that, all the festivities here. And the campus always looks so much different when it's lit up. And as we proclaim Jesus is the light of the world, the holiday season kicks off. Well, it's a joyous time. But we're coming into that holiday season when it doesn't matter where you go. Anywhere you go in town, it seems that during the holiday season especially, you got to wait somewhere. Am I right about it? I mean, you can just be going for a donut, or you can be going for coffee, or you can be going for gas, but it seems like during the holiday season, you're just going to have to wait. And try to go to a restaurant. You know, they used to have reserved seating at restaurants. I don't know. They don't have that anymore. Very rare do you find a restaurant that has some kind of reserve seating. They have call ahead now, but that really means you're going to call ahead and wait when you get there. they do the best they can. But there are lines. Go to the grocery store. You can go to the grocery store, especially this time of year. Go to the grocery store, and usually you can expedite the process if you just go through the self-checkout line. But hey, this time of year, you can go to self-checkout, you still going to wait. Come on, yeah. There's a line at self-checkout. Line everywhere you go. And don't you even try to mention that you're going to the mall. Go to the mall this time. You know, Tulsa is such a wonderful city. And people who come here from the West Coast or from the East Coast, they always say, well, man, there's no traffic here. Ooh, y'all blessed. Ain't no traffic here in Tulsa. But you try that during this time of year. Let somebody from the West Coast or the East Coast come out here and go to the mall this time of year. Y'all got a traffic problem bad as we do. The traffic, you're going to wait. You're going to wait no matter what you do. And so it doesn't matter where we go. The fact of the matter is none of us generally like to wait. I don't like to wait. I try to avoid waiting any way I can. And in my simple mind, I think that I can always outsmart the person ahead of me and try and avoid the line another way. I'm always trying to think, how can I get further ahead in that line and keep from waiting? And I don't mind. I'll drive 5 minutes out of the way to trying to save 1 minute a time. It never makes sense in the end. I tried it, though. Tried not to wait. But in the kingdom of God, one of the best things that you and I can do is to learn how to wait. To wait, that is, upon the Lord. That's a whole different type of waiting. And tonight's sermon is entitled, Hurry Up and Wait. Look at somebody and tell them, hurry up and wait. You can look even in the area of relationships sometimes, and you know, sometimes people are lonely and they can succumb to relationships that they otherwise might not enter into because they're lonely. They don't want to feel lonely. And so sometimes people, instead of just waiting on the Lord, they enter into relationships, and sometimes, you know, sometimes they think, well, I should have waited on that. I should have waited on the Lord. Should have waited and listened to the Lord on that. Sometimes people can be in relationships and you have to be careful. You single folks, be careful, because, you know, it's still important to honor God, to obey God in all of our relationships. You understand what I'm saying? And sometimes in relationship, a person can be pushing and pushing. And if a person's trying to push you to do something that God said you shouldn't do, you're going to have to ultimately evaluate if you should be with that person. You can't get much of an amen when you teach like that. I said, but it's important to wait. God said waiting for the context of marriage is an important thing. And he created marriage. He knew what he was talking about. And the blessing happens when we wait. I said, I wish I had an amen. I said, there's a blessing associated with obedience. And when you obey God, he will bless you. Am I right about it? And over in Psalm 22, if you'll go to Psalm 22, let's begin there. Title of this message, Hurry Up and Wait. And Psalm 25 reminds us to wait upon the Lord. Psalm 25, and I'm going to read just those first five verses and then slip down to verse 21 and 22 just for the sake of time tonight, reading from the New American Standard. Psalmist says, to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Do not let me be ashamed. Do not let my enemies exult over me. Verse 3, indeed, none of those who wait for you will be ashamed. And those who deal treacherously without cause will be ashamed. Make me know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth. Teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day. And then down at verse 21 and 22, he says, let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all of his troubles. So the key message here is if you want God to lead you out of trouble, you got to wait on him. Amen. And how many of you know every now and then we all get into trouble? We live in a fallen world, and sometimes trouble knocks on all of our door.
And thank God we have an answer. We have access to the name. We have authority as believers. Aren't you glad about that? We have access to the word. Thank God we have protection from the blood. We have holy angels who follow us around. God sends his word to prevail in our life. Aren't you glad about it?
Amen.
Amen. I said, the devil just can't come and run roughshod over you and I. Thank God Jesus whipped him and we still have the victory today. Amen.
Amen.
We have to keep him under our feet. I said, amen. I said, by faith, we evoke all of our blessings and benefits in Christ. Amen.
Amen.
But having said that, sometimes trouble comes our way and we have to use our authority and use the word. And God is he is an awesome deliverer. And here the psalmist said, look, don't let my enemies exalt or triumph over me. He said this, verse 3, indeed, none of those who wait for you will be ashamed. Why is it that none who wait on the Lord will be ashamed? Well, the reason that we won't be ashamed if we wait on God is because if we wait on him, he'll deliver us. If we wait on him, he'll show us what to do. If we wait on him, he'll come and get us out. If we wait on him, he'll help us in the midnight hour. If we wait on him, he'll answer our prayer and bring us through time and then time again. If we wait on him, we won't have to do the wrong thing or act too quickly or respond to pressure. Sometimes we're responding to pressure. And sometimes we're making decisions in response to pressure, and that's the worst way you can make a decision. You understand what I mean? 1 Samuel 13 down through 15, where Saul was king, and what did he do? He got under pressure, and he made some of the worst decisions. First king of Israel, he made some of the worst decisions of his life under pressure.
Amen.
And God sent a word to Saul, and he told King Saul, wait on me. He said, I'm going to lead you. I'll show you what to do in battle, but you got to wait on me. Don't just march out on your own. Don't just do your own thing. Wait on me. And Saul, he started out waiting on the Lord. 1 Samuel 13. He started out waiting on the Lord, but then the enemy started closing in. And as the enemy closed in on him, his leaders came to him and said, look, the enemy is closing in. And they said, they're going to defeat us. They said, they're going to defeat us. Hey, Brandon. They said, they're going to defeat us. And you've got to move now. You've got to act now. But God hadn't showed up yet. And the Lord said, I'll bring your word through the prophet. And the prophet will tell you what to do in this battle. What to do in this situation. Wait on me. But Saul started listening to the people. And he started feeling the pressure. And so he took the ephod and he made his own decision. And the moment he did that, the scripture says the prophet showed up the moment he did it, right after he did it. And when the prophet asked him about what he did, he said, well, I waited for you, but you didn't come. And he lost his kingship that way because he didn't know how to wait on the Lord. Let me ask you a question. What is it that you are losing or that you could potentially lose if you don't wait on God? You see, the Lord wants to bless us. But he's the Lord, and that means we got to do things his way. I wish I can get an amen right there. I said, he's the Lord. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. But I don't know about you. He's my Lord, and he's your Lord. Am I right about it? And it means we got to do things his way. And even when someone has done something wrong or ill-advised towards you, somebody hurt you, somebody did something towards you, you still have to do it his way. And there's something called the law of Christ. You know what it is? It's the law of love. Hey, walking in love is always his way. I said in the morning, walking in love is his way. In the midday, walking in love is his way. In the midnight hour, walking in love is his way. And I know maybe somebody did you wrong. Maybe somebody hurt you. But listen, that's all right. You ought to pray for them and lift them up and ask God to bless them anyway. Because walking in love, God will bring you straight on through if you'll wait on him and walk in love. I wish I had an amen. I said he'll bring you through. Learning to wait. And so King Saul, he missed it. He lost his kingship because he didn't know how to wait on God. And yet as we hear from David is saying, wait on the Lord. I'm going to wait on the Lord. I won't be ashamed if I wait on him. It's all going to be all right if I wait on him. if I'll just not get under pressure, it's going to be all right if I'll wait on the Lord. Now, this is a pressure time of year. And everywhere you go with long lines, there's pressure associated with those lines. Go into any store, and it's not an evil thing. People are just, you know, trying to make their sales and get through the year. And this is the time of year when companies make a majority of their business. It's not an evil thing at all. But when you go somewhere this time of year, there's pressure on you. Buy it now. Get it today. Don't wait. Don't wait for nothing. If you wait, you're going to lose it. If you wait, it's over. If you wait, you won't get it. Don't wait today. If you wait, you're going to be late. Don't wait. Get it now. Get it now. And you can do that. And you can have a plastic Christmas. But January or February won't feel too good. But if you wait on him. I used to think that I'd come home with something. And I used to think if I could say that I'd come home with something that maybe we need it, maybe we didn't need it. We didn't need it at that time, whatever. I come home and say this. I got a good deal on this. Anybody ever said that? I used to buy a bunch of stuff and buy the stuff justifying it with I got a good deal on it. You can't get this tomorrow. You can't get this tomorrow. I remember when the 25-inch TVs came out. 25 inches. Ooh, like a movie screen. Sound old, don't I? Oh, man, but they had a deal on a 25-inch TV. You got to get it today. I came home and said, I got a good deal on this. It's 25 inches. You'll be blessed if you wait on him. There's nothing wrong with a person trying to sell you something. They're not, you know, most of those are good people. A lot of them Christian folk, your brothers and sisters a lot of times. And they're just doing what they're supposed to do. But you better honor the Lord and know how to not do things under pressure. I said, amen. Amen. This time of year, there's going to be pressure on you everywhere you go. Get it today. Have you seen this sale? This brand new. I think I said one time Black Friday. Went out on Black Friday, and I got there. They had TV sets. They had TV sets like, I don't know, they're like $200-$300, just dirt cheap. They only had a few of them. I'd gotten there early to get something else. I just grabbed a TV. I said, ooh, this thing only $200. I got my TV. I got in the line to pay for it. I thought to myself, Bill, what are you doing? You got a house full of TVs. Where are you going to put this TV? In the garage? You don't need no TV. Put that TV down. You got under pressure. I put the TV down. The lady said, you going to put that down? You going to take that TV? I said, no, I'm letting it go. She grabbed the TV right in line. She said, I got it. What are you saying, Brother Bill? Better wait on the Lord. Better ask him first. If you wait on him, he'll bless you. He'll see you through every single time. Better know what you can afford to spend and what you can't. I said amen. Amen. And you may not be happy with your car tonight, but let me tell you this, there ain't no ride like the ride of a car that's been paid off. Woo, that car rides smooth as a Cadillac. Car that paid off. It may be blowing out smoke. It may be running rough. But boy, you ride that thing smooth. Woo, the car paid off. Woo, man. You can't feel nothing. You can't feel a bump in the road and a car that's paid off. Don't know where you are before you get under pressure and do things that we have to repent of later. It's better to wait on the Lord, to hear from God. He'll speak to you. He'll show you what to do when we wait on him. He said, indeed, none who wait for you will be ashamed. For you I wait all the day. Verse 21, preserve me, for I wait on you. Over in Psalm 27, you were at Psalm 25. Look at Psalm 27, verse 3, and then verse 13 and 14. Psalm 27, verse 3, and then verses 13 and 14. The psalmist says, though a host encamp against me, verse 3, My heart will not fear, though war arise against me. In spite of this, I shall be confident. What's making him so confident? See, this is where Saul made his mistake. A host rose against him. War rose against him. And he shook and trembled and bowed to the pressure. And David said, hey, if that happens to me, I'm just as confident as I can be. How? 13 and 14. I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Verse 14. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. Let me tell you this. God's got your answer. What is it you're seeking the Lord from? What is it that you need from the Lord? He's got your answer, but you're going to have to wait on him. He doesn't have, you know, we oftentimes we act like the Lord, you know, it's like microwave popcorn. We want to put our popcorn in the microwave oven and 2 minutes and 15 seconds later, we expect the Lord to have answered our prayer. But the Lord is not in your bag of microwave popcorn. And he has his own way of doing things. And though he can move like lightning, there are times when all of us have to wait upon him. But if you wait upon him, you'll be blessed. You'll be so blessed. And what this tells me in Psalm 27, if I'm going through a tough time in my life as a Christian, if I'm fighting battles that seem so big right now, the way to get through that battle, the way to get through what you're going through, there may be something that you find it hard to overcome. The way to get over that is to wait on the Lord. Spend some time waiting on the Lord. Let me go through three things real quickly, more specifically about waiting on the Lord. First, I want to say three things to you. Wait patiently on the Lord. Wait patiently on the Lord. Go to Psalm 40. Psalm 40. We were in Psalm 25. We just were in Psalm 27. Now we're going to Psalm 40. Psalm 40. The scripture is chock full of commands for you and I to wait on the Lord. God's trying to tell you and I something. He's trying to tell us something. And Psalm 40, those first three verses, this first point, wait patiently. Psalmist says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay. He set my feet on a rock, making my footsteps firm. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord. The psalmist said he waited patiently on the Lord, and the Lord, he said, the Lord lifted my feet out of the miry clay. He inclined his ear and listened, and he pulled my feet out of the miry clay and set me up on a rock. Said, I like that. There's a benefit to waiting on the Lord. Then he said this, though. he said the Lord gave me a new song. He put, verse 3, he put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to God. Let me ask you this. Where did he get that new song? He got that new song waiting on the Lord. Waiting in the Lord's presence, the Lord gave him a new song. And I tell you, when you wait on the Lord, when you wait on the Lord, when you minister to him and wait on him, he'll give you a new song. Yes, he will. He'll give you a song of victory. You wait on God, I guarantee you, he'll put a song of victory down on the inside of you. You'll just start singing victory. There's victory. I got victory. Victory's coming. You wait on the Lord, you'll start singing about victory. Something about victory coming to you. Something about victory showing up. If you'll wait on him, hey, victory. The Lord will start talking to you about victory. He said he put a new song in my mouth. I was waiting patiently on the Lord. I was worshiping him and reverencing him and staying patiently in his presence. I wasn't sure what to do. I didn't know how to get through, but the Lord, I waited patiently, and he lifted my feet out of the miry clay, and he lifted me up on a rock, and then he put a new song in my mouth. When his feet were in the miry clay, God put a song in him. You're coming out of that clay. I'm lifting you up to a rock. I'm lifting you to higher ground. I'm taking you from glory to glory to glory. I said, hey, if you'll wait on him, he'll put a new song in you. He'll put a song in you. Over in Psalm 32, verse 7, David said, keep your finger where you are here in Psalm 40, but 32, look back there for 32, verse 7. David said this, you are my hiding place. He said, you preserve me or you protect me from trouble. I like that. He's talking to God. He's waiting on the Lord. And he's talking to God, waiting on the Lord. And he told the Lord this. He said, you're my hiding place. He said this, you protect me from trouble. He said, you surround me, watch now, you surround me with songs of deliverance. I said, I wish I had an amen in here. David said, God, you're my hiding place. I'm waiting on you. I'm waiting on you. I'm worshiping you and reverencing you. I'm not launching out on my own. I'm not doing my own thing. I'm waiting on you, God. You're my hiding place. You protect me from trouble. And you surround me with songs of deliverance. I wish I had an amen here. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual psalms interpreted for the church in Ephesians 5, 18 and 19. God's got a song for you if you'll wait in his presence. I said, you'll start sensing the victory side. You wait in his presence long enough. Now see, if you don't stay in his presence long enough, your mind may get the better of you. Your natural mind may get the better of you. And if your mind, see any of us, if our mind is not renewed, then the wrong thoughts are traveling through your mind. And your natural mind can tell you going under. You ain't going to make it. Ooh, this is the last time you coming up for air. You ain't coming back again. You ain't coming back up again. Your mind will tell you all kind of goofy stuff, unrenewed. Oh, but when you wait on the Lord, wait on him in the word, he'll speak to you. You see, you are the apple of his eye. You are the center of his attention. There's nothing the Lord wouldn't do for you. The Lord is so in love with you. Talking about you. The Lord is in love with you. And he got his eye on you. And you notice after David said in that Psalm 32, David said, you are my hiding place. You protect me from trouble. You surround me with songs of deliverance. You notice God spoke back to him. Did you see verse 8? Psalm 32, verse 8. God said, I will instruct you and teach you in the way. See, this after he waited on him. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. Counsel you with my eye on you. I said, God's got his eye on you. He sees everything you're going through, sees everything you're facing. God got his eye on you. I said, the Lord has counted every hair on your head, every hair on the back of your neck. God's already counted. And he said, I'll instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. After David waited on him, I'll instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. Counsel you with my eye on you. Oh yeah, God loves you like that. Oh yes, he does. But David waited in his presence long enough. He was in his presence long enough till he just declared, you my hiding place. You my protector from trouble. You surround me with songs of deliverance. There ain't nobody like you. Wait patiently on the Lord. Secondly, look, wait expectantly. Wait expectantly on him. Wait patiently, reverence him, worship him, adore him, spend time with him. Wait patiently on him. But secondly, look, wait expectantly on him. Over in Philippians 1:6, and then Philippians 1:12-20, the book of Philippians, chapter 1, verse 6. He said this, I'm confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. Confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day. There's an ongoing work of grace in your life, my brother and sister, in my life. And God's never going to be done working on us. His desires that we produce fruit with our lives. But when we produce fruit, what's he do? He prunes the tree so we'll produce more fruit. And that way, we should never be the same. We should be at a different growth plateau today than we were a year ago. Can I get an amen? If we're just the same as we were a year ago, something's wrong. We should be growing. Stuff that's holding us up today, next year, this time, we won't have no problem with that. Stuff that may be bothering you today, next year, this time, you've let the Lord work in your life, you know, you ain't got no problem with that. We're growing from glory to glory to glory. And so he said, confident in this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. Down at verse 12, we're in Philippians chapter 1, down at verse 12. He said, now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that my imprisonment, everybody say imprisonment. in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else, and that most of the brethren, trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. Some, verse 15, to be sure, are preaching Christ even from envy and strife, but some also from goodwill. 16, the latter do it out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. 17, the former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition rather than from pure motives, thinking to cause me distress in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in this I rejoice. Yes, and I will rejoice. For I know that this will, listen, 19, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that I will not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness, Christ will even now, as always, be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. Why did I read all that? Paul was in prison writing this. In prison, unjustly prisoned. And he said, even though I'm in prison, this is going to turn out for my good. It's going to turn out for your good. And he said, there are people with false motives all around me. Some are preaching Christ with false motives, some with good motives. But he said this in verse 19, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. He knew he was coming out of that prison. He was patiently waiting on God. He was expectantly waiting on the Lord. And he knew God was going to deliver him. And though his deliverance did not come that day, history tells us his deliverance did come just like he expected it. He was delivered and got out of that prison. And you may be going through a hard time. You're going to have to wait patiently, but secondly, you're going to have to wait expectantly. He expected to be delivered. He was confessing, I'm coming out. I know I'm coming out. He said, through your prayers, you're agreeing with me in prayer. And I know through your prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, I'm coming up out of this prison. I may be in prison today, but I ain't staying in prison. He said, I may be broke today, but I ain't staying broke. I may be going through a troublesome time today, but I ain't staying trouble. I'm coming out of this thing. Wait patiently, wait expectantly. Finally, and lastly, listen, wait prayerfully. Wait prayerfully. Over in Isaiah 40, 28 through 31. Isaiah 40, 28 through 31. Isaiah 40, wait prayerfully. Wait patiently, wait expectantly, wait prayerfully. Isaiah 40, 28 through 31. Verse 28, Isaiah 40. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary. And to him who lacks might, he increases power. And though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. And they will mount up with wings like eagles. And they will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. Oh, because the Creator of the ends of the earth has strengthened this person who waits on him. I said, if you wait on him prayerfully, he will strengthen you. What are you facing tonight? You know, it really doesn't matter. If you'll wait patiently, if you'll wait expectantly, you got to know your promises to wait expectantly. If you'll wait prayerfully, I said, God will bring you out on the other side. You say, I don't feel like I have the strength. Sometimes we go through things in life and see, my brother and sister, we can know, most of the time we know the right thing to do. And if you've been in Christ any length of time at all, sometimes people haven't been in Christ that long and they don't know the right thing to do. And so they make a mistake not knowing the right thing to do. For most people, that's not the problem. Most people, they know the right thing to do. If you ask them, what is the right thing to do? They can tell you this is the right thing to do right there. But then if you ask them, are you going to do the right thing?
I'm trying to do the right thing. I want to do the right thing. I'm thinking about the right thing.
Sometimes there's a disconnect between knowing the right thing, listen to me now, and having the strength to do the right thing. You can know the right thing. That don't mean you got the strength to do the right thing. But God has provided such that he wants us not just to know the right thing, but to be infused, not with our strength, but with his strength. He'll put his strength in us, his strength in you. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. I said, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. And he'll quicken your mortal body by that same spirit. God, he wants to strengthen you. The Lord, he wants to help you. What's he want to help us do? He wants to give us the strength. You say, I don't feel like I can go through. I don't feel like I can. You say, I don't feel like I can put up with them folk from work one more day. But God will give you the strength if you wait on him. Somebody say, well, my kids are just wearing me out. I don't think I can go another day. My kids have just worn me out. But God will give you the strength if you wait on him. Somebody said, I'm going through a trial of such extent that it has drained me. It has sapped all of my spiritual energy. I don't think I can do it. I don't think I'm going to make it. Wait a minute. God said, I will put my strength on the inside of you. I'm just waiting to strengthen you. When my phone goes dead at the end of the night, I don't freak out. I don't panic. You know what I do? Like you, I plug it into the power source. I don't start watching, oh, Lord, this thing is out. Oh, Lord, the thing didn't run out of power. Oh, I got 1% left. I don't know what I'm going to do after that 1%. I ain't got no more battery life after 1%. Oh, Lord. I just plug it into the power source. Go on about my business. In my car, I got a power source. I'll plug my phone into the power source in my car. Said, I wish I had an amen. At home, I'll plug it into the power source. At my bathroom, at my vanity, there's a power source. I'll plug it in right there. In my closet, there's a power source. I'll plug it in right there. On the golf course, in the golf carts today, they make golf carts with a USB where you can plug in your phone. I'll plug it in on the golf course. I said, amen. I got a portable battery that I keep in the car. If my phone goes, I just plug anywhere. What are you saying? Anywhere I go, I can tap into that power source. Amen. I wish I had an amen. Amen. Anywhere you go, God's ready to infuse you with strength. You say, I'm tired down here on the job. God will strengthen you right on the job. Hey, he'll strengthen you on your job. You can be on the bus. God will give you strength. You can be in your prayer closet. He will strengthen you. He said, I'll strengthen you like an eagle. I'll give you the strength of an eagle. An eagle has the ability to soar above the storm. The eagle gets in there with such strength in its wings, it can get above what's troubling it. Hey, and when you get above the storm, you can see what other people can't see. Other people think you ain't coming out of the clouds, but when you get above the storm, you can see I'm coming out of this thing. God said, I'll strengthen you like an eagle. I got a show tape right now about an eagle. They follow the eagle. They said the eagle could see for more than a mile. They showed the eagle perched up way up high. Eagle just did his head like that, just took off with them. Went whoop, whoop, whoop. The camera was following the eagle. So it went down, went around, came down, darted down, and bam, grabbed a fish right out of the water. Could see it from a mile away. I said, God, he knows where your provision is. And if you'll let him strengthen you, he'll give you the eyesight of an eagle. And you can see what other people can't see. And it may look dark tonight. It may look bad tonight. But God will get you above it, where you can look down on it and say, oh, I'm coming out of this thing. God is an awesome God. Hey, I may be, and I ain't going to be in this for long. Hey, I'm coming out of this thing. I see my provision is coming. He'll give you the ability to see what other people can't see. The prophet said, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. God told him it was going to rain. So he sent his messenger down there and said, go check it out. The messenger came back and said, ain't no rain. Ain't no rain nowhere on the horizon. He said, go back and look again. He came back and said, ain't no rain, ain't a cloud nowhere. The man of God said, but God, he told me when I was waiting on him that it was going to rain. He told me when I was waiting on him that he had a job for me. I wish somebody would hear me in this place. He told me when I was waiting on him that he's got the perfect home for me. He told me, hey, when I was waiting on him, he told me that I've got this or I've got that or he's doing this or he's opening this door. God told me about it. Prophet said, God told me it was going to rain. He said, go back a third time. Look for a cloud. Man came back and said, there ain't no cloud nowhere. Nowhere. I looked with nothing. Send him back a fourth time. Nothing. He said, go back. He was waiting expectantly. He was waiting patiently. He was waiting prayerfully. The prophet was. I don't know about the servant. The servant just kept going, hey, ain't nothing. Ain't nothing. You're going to be broke. You broke tonight. You're going to be broke next week. You're going to be broke all next year. You broke. He said, go back a sixth time and look. He said, nothing. He said, go back a seventh time and look. He came back a seventh time. He said, well, I see a cloud. It's insignificant. Oh, but the prophet was flying like an eagle. He said, that's my blessing. What you see, that's my blessing right there. That's it. That's it. And God bought the rain. And if you'll wait on him, you may be dry in some area of your life tonight, but you won't be dry long, my brother and sister. God's got your blessing. God's got the rain. God knows how to help you. God knows your situation. And if you'll wait on him, he'll show you exactly what to do. I said, if you'll wait on him, wait patiently on him. He'll lift your feet to the rock out of the miry clay. Wait on him. If you'll wait expectantly on him, get the word coming out of your mouth. Paul said, I'm coming out of prison. I may be in prison. He said, but I'm coming out of this thing. Y'all are praying. He said, I'm praying. Y'all are praying. I'm confessing the word. I'm coming out of prison. They can't hold me. Can't no jail hold me. Waiting expectantly. Oh, and if you wait prayerfully. Jesus told the disciples the night he was betrayed. He said, come over here and pray with me after they had supper. When he came back, they were asleep. He said, I want you to pray for an hour. Because temptation's coming, and I don't want you to enter into temptation. You're not going to have the strength to do what you know is the right thing to do. So pray for an hour. Wait on me. Wait in prayer. He came back second time, they were asleep. He went and kept praying. He came back third time, they were asleep. He said, that's enough. Judas is here. Judas betrayed him with a kiss, and the Lord hugged him. Oh, man, he had been waiting on his father, the Lord Jesus. If it had been me, I would have knocked Judas out. No, I don't know what I would have done. I don't know. I ain't the Lord. Thank God he loves us unconditionally. But he waited on his heavenly Father. He said, Father, if it's your will, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, I'm going to do your will. Amen. I'm going to follow your will. Amen. Give me the strength. I need the strength to do your will. I need the strength to go through the agony. Through the torture, through the pain. I have a mission. You gave me a mission to redeem. You gave me a mission to save. You gave me a mission to heal. And I need the strength. And he prayed. And God strengthened him. And when Judas embraced him, betraying him, Jesus hugged him and kissed him. Peter grabbed a sword in the flesh, trying to cut a man's head off. Swung, cut his ear off. Jesus said, put that sword away, picked up the ear and put it right back on, healed the man's ear, put it right back on the side of his head. And Jesus said, those who live by the sword will die by the sword. That's not how. He said, you don't think I could. He said, I'm laying my life down. You're not taking my life. He said, I could call my father right now and have a legion of angels at my side. Don't get it twisted. I'm on a mission to redeem, but he needed the strength. The disciples, they all betrayed him that night. They knew the right thing to do. They didn't have the strength to do it. They should have waited prayerfully on him over in Matthew. God's got your answer, my friend. If you'll wait patiently, if you'll wait expectantly, and if you'll wait prayerfully, he'll reveal to you. He'll give you a song of deliverance, and he'll reveal to you what it's going to be. Father, we thank you tonight for the power of your word. Thank you for the ministry of the Holy Ghost. Thank you for ministering to every heart, every person here. Thank you for the way that you love us. with every head bowed, every eye closed. When I quoted Psalm 32, I quoted verse 7 and 8. 7, David said, "You are my hiding place. You protect me from trouble. You surround me with songs of deliverance." I quoted verse 8. God said back to him, "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go, counsel you with my eye upon you." I didn't quote verse 9. I want to quote it now. Verse 9. Verse 9. God said, "Don't be a horse or a mule whose trappings include a bit and bridle to keep them in check. Otherwise, they won't come near you." Tonight, with every head bowed, every eye closed, God's saying, "I want to help you. I'm there for you. I love you more than you ever know." But he's saying, don't be a horse or a mule. Don't be stubborn. Don't sit there in stubbornness when God's trying to help you tonight. And if you're here tonight, and number one, you've never received Jesus as your Savior and Lord, tonight is your night. If you were to die tonight, what would happen to you? You say, "I'm not sure." Oh, but the Bible says God wants you to be sure. If you say, "I'm not sure," you need prayer. If you're not sure what would happen to you if you were to die tonight, let me see your hand in this place. You've never received Jesus. Anybody here, you've never received Christ as your Lord and Savior. Never really made him your Lord and Savior. Show me your hand tonight. Let me pray for you. Don't be a horse or a mule. Don't be stubborn when God's trying to lead you. Secondly, here tonight, if you're here and maybe you're a Christian, but you're backslidden, you're not really living for the Lord. You're not really living the way you know you should be living, and you're doing your own thing, going your own way, living your own life. You received Christ before, but you know you're not living the way you should be. Let me see your hand. Don't sit there like a horse or a mule. God's got a song of deliverance for you. God's going to help you. Anybody in here, and you know you're not right with God. You're a Christian, but you know you're not right with God. Anybody like that? Father, I don't see any hands in this place tonight, and we thank you for your mercy. You are so rich in mercy. Thank you for your people. Somebody here tonight, and you're going through a battle. You're going through a struggle. You're going through a time of trial. And what we said about waiting on the Lord, God is already speaking to your heart. You're going through a tough battle. May be tempted to give up. Let me see your hand in this place tonight. Just with your head bowed. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Praise God. Yeah. Father, you see honest hands and honest hearts tonight. We pray for everybody who had their hand up. And Father, thank you for your deliverance. Thank you for lifting your people up on a rock. Thank you for getting them out of the miry clay. What they're stuck in tonight, they're not going to be stuck in tomorrow because of your mighty power and your mighty love. Thank you for delivering them from the clay, whatever their clay is. Thank you for delivering your people, setting them up on the rock. Thank you, Father. Thank you for helping them to be patient, helping them to be expectant, helping them to be prayerful as they wait on you. Thank you for giving them a song of deliverance, a song of deliverance. Oh, thanks for touching your people. Thanks for your mighty, mighty deliverance. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I need to say one more thing before I dismiss us tonight. In recent years, I've gone through the biggest battles in my life personally I've ever faced, and the Lord's brought me through on the other side. I thank him and praise him. Every day I thank him and praise him. But as I was walking through and endeavoring to be patient and expectant and prayerful, the Lord, he told me if I would keep my mind renewed, that he would keep my strength renewed, and he's been true to his word. And as you walk through issues and walk through things that may be difficult to face, you need to remember that God will never leave you. He will never fail you. He will never fail to be there with you. He told me this, and I'll tell you this and we'll go. About a year before the storm really ended, it was a storm of epic proportions in my life. I'd never seen a storm like that, never walked through a storm like that. It started with my dad dying the 4th of January, 2014, but that was just the beginning. And the Lord told me a full year before my storm ever ended, he told me in prayer, waiting on him, start saying your storm is over. The Lord told me in prayer, a full year. He told me in prayer, you start proclaiming. You start rejoicing. You start dancing that your storm is over. He told me, by faith, dance, because the storm, he said, your storm is over. There's a little bit you're going to walk through to finish, but your storm is over, and you start proclaiming it. You start saying it. You start speaking it. You start dancing it. And I danced all over my house. And I praised him with my guitar day after day and morning after morning and night after night that my storm was over. And he brought on me a peace that passes all understanding. A peace with his presence. That when he said, I'll never leave you or forsake you, he meant that about you. He meant that. He's right there with you. And after, legally and in every other way, the storm was over. I looked back, and I'd been saying my storm was over. My storm was over. I'd been proclaiming that. And I just said, Father, you gave me such insight. You gave me such ability to see and to speak. It's what he said about the eagle. And I know he wants to help some people tonight. And if you'll wait on him, patiently, expectantly, and prayerfully, God's going to do it for you. Don't let this holiday season get the best of you. Don't get under pressure that way either. Don't let the pressure from the outside get on the inside. Wait on the Lord. Know what to do with your money. Know what to do with your time. Don't get so bogged down you can't enjoy the holidays. Some people are so bogged down they can't even enjoy 1 minute of the holidays. They just go, oh, I'm glad that was over. Wait on him. All right, stand on your feet. We've already prayed. It's 7:20. God is good. We hope you'll be here on Wednesday for the lighting of the campus and all those good things. We love you tonight. Pastor will be preaching next Sunday, so be here for that. You'll be blessed. We love you. If you need prayer for anything, come on down here. These anointed ladies here, they're coming down here. These are all prayer warriors. And so come on down here, and if you're a lady, let one of these anointed ladies pray for you. And these fellows over here, they know what they're doing in prayer. These anointed men of God, let them pray with you. You won't leave like you came. All right, Father, thank you now. Protect us all as we go. Keep us safe. Keep us in the hollow of your hand. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed. God bless. Oh, wait. I didn't think. Do we have one first-time guest? Okay, let's have our first-time guest go. And we had a second one? You too? Your first time guest? Oh, okay. Okay, wonderful. We had two? Okay, let's thank them again. We got a gift we want to give you. So both of you can go. Both of you can go. It's just going to take a moment. Krista will give you that gift. Just go with Krista. And there was someone else. Go with her. And we're going to give you a great gift on behalf of Pastor Mrs. Hagen, the church fellowship. We just love you. Thank you for coming. So give them one more big hand. Let's let them go out. Let's let them go out. Amen. So make this a joyful time. Make this the happiest Christmas or year or season you've ever had. And if you're not happy today, if you wait on the Lord, you will be. If you wait on him, if something's not right today, if you'll wait on him, it'll all get straightened out. He'll work it out for you. So, all right, I think they're good. You're good. We love you. We'll see you right here on Wednesday. God bless you.